The reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 48. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will make them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling us this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at this proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, My master has taken a long time in coming, and he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. But from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Did you know that if you, based on an average lifespan of 78 years, so if you're older than that, don't worry, but based on an average lifespan of 78 years, you spend approximately 25 years asleep. 25 years sleeping. During that 78 years, you spend approximately 10 and a third years working, based on a 40-hour week with 4 weeks holiday a year and stuff like that. During that time, the average office worker spends over 5 years of that sat at their desk, and the average office worker spends 2 years of that in pointless meetings. The average person spends 9 years watching TV, 2 years of which are just adverts. The average person spends 1.1 years cleaning, 2.5 years cooking, and 3.66 years eating. And just to put that into some context, over the course of 78 years, you will probably consume approximately 35 tons of food. You spend approximately 4 1/3 years driving in your car, which during that time you're likely to cover the distance that would take you to the moon and back 3 times. And you actually get 3 months of that 4 and a bit years is spent stuck in traffic. You spend 1.5 years in the bathroom. 92 days on the toilet. And interestingly enough, and Catherine doesn't believe this statistic, but men actually only spend 4 minutes a day longer in the toilet than women. Ladies, I don't want to upset you, but there are also some facts that I discovered. One is that you spend, that ladies in particular, tend to spend 8 years shopping. 1.5 years doing their hair. That's 14,000 hours with a curler, hairdryer, straighteners, and nearly 1 year deciding what to wear. Now, I'm not sure whether that statistic was written by a husband who just feels like it's taken a year. Other things you should probably be aware is that the average man in that 78 years will have spent 1 year looking at women. The average person spends 14 days kissing, and the average woman spends 17 years of her life trying to lose weight. Why am I saying all this? Well, because it's time. It's time we lead such busy lives, don't we? Everything demands more of our time. Even the things that are designed to save us time take time. For instance, we have cars. The purpose of a car is so we can get from A to B quicker, thus saving ourselves time. However, everybody has the same idea. So Bank Holiday Monday, you sit on the motorway with the handbrake on, playing I Spy with the kids, waiting for the traffic to move. We have computers. The idea of computers is to save time. I have lost count of the hours, nay, days or months lost trying to convince my computer that the formatting they insist on me wanting on the document is not the formatting I want. Yes, I am sure that I want to delete that file. And no, where was the "are you sure" prompt just before I closed that program and lost the last 6 hours' work? Everything that we do takes time. Work is demanding. Home life is demanding. When I was a kid, my parents only actually ever had to worry if I wasn't home by the time it was dark, or if the combine harvester was starting to work in the field they last saw me playing in. Now, the average parent of school-age kids will have at least 2 after-school clubs that they have to take their kids to. So the 2.2 family means that 2.2 kids type family means that actually the average family now has 4 after-school clubs, which either happen at exactly the same time, so you have to be in 2 places at the same time, or on consecutive days, to the point where you're out every evening in the week taking your kids to and from clubs. Everything is stressful. Stress, stress, stress. And we need our downtime, don't we? We need our leisure time. We don't need somebody telling us that we should be spending more time doing something else, especially if it's church. And I know that's how we feel, don't we? Don't we? We can be honest, we're friends. This morning, Leslie read to us from Luke 12 a passage that's entitled in the NIV as Watchfulness. The whole text is about the good servant being ready for the coming of the master, whenever he might return. In this world, so many things are already ready. Already ready. Yes. Things are HD ready. Bluetooth ready. 3D ready. Are we Jesus ready? You can get ready-mixed concrete, ready-made curtains, ready-mixed cake mix. Everything is ready. Everything is there to speed up our time, and yet still, the time we have left, do we spend it being ready for God? We read in the first 6 verses of a perpetual state of readiness, an eagerness, almost an eagerness to serve. And with that eager, willing readiness to serve their master comes the promise that when the master finds them ready, they will not then be the servants. He will serve them. They will relax. And he will serve them. Now Jesus is, of course, speaking about his second coming. The primary thrust of this passage is undeniably one of service and readiness. But here's the thing. It takes our time to be ready. And it will take all of our time to be ready for the coming of Christ. Even if he returns, and in the NIV it says about the second or third watch of the night, even if he returns in the middle of the night, we are to be ready. Now, it's not God's expectation that we spend the rest of our lives awake, just in case. It's very much Jesus' instruction that we spend our entire lives alert and ready. Now, you might ask, how on earth can we be as ready as Jesus expects? And I think it's got absolutely everything to do with how we regard our time. How we regard everything we have. What we do with our money, what we do with our time, what we do with our talents, everything. So if we look at the list of how we spend our time, it's easy to look at all those, or at least many of those things, and see them as essentials in maintaining our lifestyle. But what happens if we look at them the other way around? What happens if we look at them as ways of serving God? Working is for many of us a necessary evil. Very few people are blessed to be doing the job that they would still gladly do if they weren't paid to do it. But if we look at our job as an opportunity to serve Christ, it now becomes an opportunity for us to pray, to witness, to influence, to share, to encourage, to befriend, to serve, to sacrifice, to be Christian. Housework isn't everyone's dream, certainly not mine. But even here is an opportunity to say to God, I'm going to do the best job I can, not for my husband or wife, not even for my kids, but for you. I will serve you. I will pray around this house as I clean. I will seek to put you, Lord, into everything in this house so that anybody that comes into this home encounters you. When we're spending some of our 8 years shopping, we can use this opportunity to serve God. Ask the manager every time you go into the shop why they don't stock fair trade Easter eggs or coffee or tea or rice or toilet paper, fair trade anything. Challenge them. Buy the fair trade products. Let your trolley be a witness to kingdom ethics. We live in a world that places profit over lives, and in that world, we have the opportunity to make a kingdom statement with every purchase. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 to 9 say, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols to your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. Deuteronomy tells us that we should always be talking about the things of God, sharing them with our children. Maybe when we're sat on the motorway with the handbrake on instead of playing I Spy. At our getting up and our lying down, if we're going to spend 25 years of our life asleep, then let's have something godly as the seed for our dreams. Do you see how what I mean? By actually, instead of consigning all these things to the list of mundane, where we don't actually consider God to even be interested in them, let alone want to get involved in them, instead of doing that, why not invite the Almighty Creator God and lover of our souls into every part of our life? I've mentioned this passage probably as much as I've mentioned the Acts 2:42 passage, but Romans 12 instructs us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. That we're instructed to offer our bodies says that everything we are, everything we do, have done, are likely to do, everything we're interested in, speak of, or think of, should be surrendered to God. That it says to be a living sacrifice is because we are to consider it no longer our life. It's no longer our body. It's totally dedicated to God for the duration of our time here on earth. This is what Jesus was talking about in today's passage. We are to be ready. We're to have lived our lives around the requirements of being ready for Jesus' return. We are to be ready, watching, having spent our time serving in everything we've done. In fact, we are to have dedicated all of our time, our very lives, to being ready for Jesus' return. The last verse of the reading says, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." We live in the luxurious, wealthy West. We want for nothing. Even the lowest paid people here, by global standards, are rich. We have been given much. Whatever it is we have, God has given it to us. And as such, it's not ours to hold on tightly to. But rather, we should be asking God what it is he wants us to do with it. I know Roger spoke last week about money, but we should not be thinking, how much can I spare to give God? But actually, we should be thinking, thank you, God, for everything I have. What do you want me to do with it? Oh, and how much am I allowed to keep just for myself? Completely the other way around. With our time, we have been given our lives by God. We've been given them for a reason. So instead of arguing about how much time we should give to God, we should actually be asking, how do you want me to spend my time, Lord? How do you want me to live my life? The kingdom of God turns everything on its head. The world says, give money away and you'll have less. The kingdom principle is, give God your money and you'll be amazed at what God does with it, and you will not go without. The world says we work hard and we're entitled to play hard. I work 8 hours a day, I sleep 8 hours a day, and the other 8 hours a day is mine. The kingdom says God has given me 24 hours in every day, and it's his gift to us, and we should be asking how we can best spend it for him. Now, I don't mean that you should have no time for yourselves, don't worry. Again, Roger last week said that biblically we are to ensure we have leisure time and rest. But I do want to challenge how we regard the things we spend our time on. I know I've said this before, but some people see church a bit like a helicopter. It's great for getting a different perspective on things, but it's dangerous if you get too close because you get sucked into the rotors. Do we look at being on a church rotor as this necessary evil? Do we regard being on a church rotor as a real nauseous chore that we'd rather not have to do? Do we consider attending a church service for an hour and a half a week to be good enough for God, and that he should be grateful we did it? Or do we regard the teaching to be a vital part of our development so that we can know how much better to serve in the rest of our week? Do we regard worship as an irritating musical interlude in our otherwise busy schedule? Or do we see it as an all too brief opportunity to sing a love song to the one who loves us so much that he lived and died and rose again for us? So here's the challenge. You know those figures that I started with? Well, based on a fairly generous figure of 3 hours of actual teaching and worship a week, so that's an hour and a half in the morning and an hour and a half in the evening on a Sunday, assuming that you lived, you know, the average lifespan of 78, and that you attended every morning and evening service from birth to death, which means that you were a particularly well-taught and keen toddler, you would have spent 1.4 years in church. Now, that's More time than you spent kissing, but less time than you spent in the bathroom. If we added cell group attendance of, say, 2 hours a week for half the year from 18 to 78, your church stuff bracket would rise to 1.75 years, which, congratulations, you're now spending more time on God than going to the bathroom, but less than half the time you spend eating. In fact, it could be said that we've spent twice as much time on our stomach than on God, on our soul. This looks the same as the first picture, but there is one difference. There is a thin grey sliver in the top there that is church services. It remains a very real possibility that some of that 25 years spent sleeping happens during sermons. But I'm not sure that that still counts as serving God. However, just about everything else on the list that we looked at the beginning can be done from a kingdom perspective. And indeed, if we have met the risen Christ, then if we've been saved by his sacrifice, if we've been inspired by his love, it should be our desire to do so, to live from a kingdom perspective. Surely if we are called to follow Jesus and live as he taught and love and show compassion as he did, to be the body of Christ in the world that really needs to meet Christ, do we have any right to hold back anything from God? If we are committed to the way of Christ, we should be spending time with just God. Time with God's followers. Time with the world God loves. If we are to be faithful to the call of Christ, we need to be spending our time on what he calls us to spend our time on. If we are to discern the mind of Christ, we need to spend time with him so that we know what it is he wants us to do. If we are, it's going to take time. It's going to take time to offer the welcome of Christ. It's going to take time to grow in the likeness of Christ. It's going to take time to engage in the mission of Christ in the world that belongs to Christ. So are we ready? Are we ready to serve? Are we ready for his coming again? Are we ready to give our time to God? Amen. This day, this week, this life, may we be pilgrims and companions together, committed to the way of Christ, faithful to the call of Christ, discerning the mind of Christ, offering the welcome of Christ, growing in the likeness of Christ, engaging in the mission of Christ, in the world that belongs to Christ. Let us close by saying the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.